grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the first lesson for this Festival of All Saints, the seventh chapter of the Revelation to St. John, the 14th and 15th verses, "These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple." Some words of the poet William Butler Yeats have become something of a cliché for describing the world we live in today. Although written early in the last century, these words remain an evocative, compelling picture of the world we know today. And this is what the poet said. "Things fall apart, the center cannot hold, mere anarchy is loosed upon the world, the blood-dimmed tide is loose, and everywhere the ceremony of innocence is drowned. The best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity." In such a time as this, faithful Christians can find comfort, courage, and unshakable hope in that seemingly strange and so often misunderstood last book of the Bible, the Revelation to St. John. For behind all the strange and often very puzzling imagery, St. John's message is absolutely clear and perfectly simple. For the message of the Revelation to St. John is the same message we find in the Gospel, according to St. John. In the very first chapter of his Gospel, St. John writes, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And if we ask, what is that light? Or to speak more accurately, who is that light? The answer is that Christ is that light. St. John writes, "The true light that enlightens everyone was coming into the world. In him was life, and the life was the light of humankind." But the light shines in the darkness. The world and the seven churches John wrote to from his exile on the island of Patmos present a very gloomy and indeed distressing picture. The Roman emperor claimed for himself the title God and Lord, and he persecuted Christians because they wouldn't accept that claim. The seven churches John wrote to, churches in Asia Minor, which today we know as Turkey, were anything but a picture of robust spiritual health. Their members were in part lukewarm and indifferent. Some were contentious, And others were very badly compromised by accommodation to the ways of a world which knows not God. And yes, there were also those who, despite everything, were very, very faithful. Does this also somehow sound all too familiar? The truth is that from the very beginning, the Church of Jesus Christ has been troubled by persecution, indifference, compromise, betrayal, and apostasy. It was, after all, one of the chosen 12 apostles, Judas Iscariot, who betrayed his Lord. A sin-filled world will always resist the light of Christ's holiness and truth, by which its darkness is exposed for what it in fact is. In his poem, Choruses from the Rock, that great Christian poet T.S. Eliot asked, why should men love the church? Why should they love her laws? She tells them of life and death, and of all that they would forget. She is tender where they would be hard, and hard where they would like to be soft. She tells them of evil and sin and other unpleasant facts. They constantly try to escape from the darkness outside and within by dreaming of a system so perfect that no one will never need to be good. There is also this, the ancient enemy of God and humankind, the deceiver of the whole world and his minions, always try to corrupt and destroy that living truth by which alone a darkened world can receive salvation, light, and joy. The hard truth is that the church has always been in danger. And I suspect that the only difference nowadays is that in this easy, yet inexpressibly cruel age, with its passionate devotion to comfort, convenience, and the worship of self, too many Christians seem to have forgotten the difficult truth that until Christ returns in glory and puts all his enemies under his feet, the life of his church here on earth can only be a life of unending struggle with Satan, with the fallen world, and with our own sinful human nature. The church in this world is therefore always a struggling church. But the good news proclaimed in the Revelation to St. John and celebrated on this festival of All Saints is that the gentle Lamb who was slain has overcome the world, and that all who love and trust in him will at last, by his mercy, share in his victory. Of the saints in heaven, St. John writes, these are they who have come out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The saints in heaven were once like you and like me, struggling sinners. But they kept on repenting. They kept on struggling, and daily cleansed by faith in the precious blood of Jesus, they found new strength to believe and to hope and to love. It wasn't easy for them, and it isn't easy for us. Toward the end of a long life of faithfully caring for the sheep and lambs of Christ's flock, Bishop Charles Chapman Grafton had this to say: God knew that I had failed in many ways. How strong self-will, with all its desires and ambitions, was. How necessary it was for my heart and my will to be humbled and crushed. One can, in old age, be thankful for it all. It did not do all it might have done, but it helped me, made me more real, somehow emptied me of self, wrought a spirit of charity in me. And so I got up and joined the host of forgiven cripples and went stumbling on to God. The worst struggle isn't the struggle going on in the world and in the church. The worst struggle is the struggle going on in my own heart, the struggle between faith and unbelief, the struggle between God and self, the struggle between Christ and Satan. The church in this world has always been and will always be a struggling church, because it is a church of sinners in a world of sinners, and the church is never in greater danger than when she forgets that sober yet saving truth. But on this festival of All Saints, the struggling church here on earth lifts her eyes to the church in heaven, where dwells the Virgin Mary, the Mother of our God and Lord Jesus Christ, together with all the holy patriarchs, prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and all saints, also our own loved ones, who are now resting in the presence and the joy of their Savior and Lord. I want to conclude this morning with some words from a sermon by that great 17th century poet and preacher, John Donne. Words which formed the conclusion of the sermon preached this past Friday at the funeral of Colin Powell. If you know anything about the life of John Donne, you know that John Donne too was only a forgiven sinner. And this is what he said: Bring us, O Lord God, at our last awakening, into the house and gate of heaven, to enter into that gate and dwell in that house, where there shall be no darkness nor dazzling, but one equal light, no noise nor silence, but one equal music, no fears nor hopes, but one equal possession, no ends nor beginnings, but one equal eternity in the habitations of thy glory and dominion, world without end. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.